An important holiday message from Heritage Distilling Company. We had no idea our Spirits Advent calendar would become such a craze for the holidays.
Yes, we did. It's cool, and it's for grown-ups.
We've perfected 24 minis in a variety of our award-winning spirits, and all packed in our holiday box for one day at a time use.
But you're going to cheat. You can't help it.
Get your Spirits Advent calendar at a Heritage Distilling tasting room or at your favorite retailer.
Heritage Distilling Company, Gig Harbor, Washington. ABV may vary by product. Please drink responsibly.
Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a couple of Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson and Rob Ensley on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft, and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson Chevrolet, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, Truck Vault, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Welcome to Hour 2 of The Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. That's Rob Ensley to my left. Joey Piper to my right. Matt Nelson's running the board for us today. I'm Tom Nelson, and thanks for tuning in. So check it out. Next Saturday, just when we get off air, that's Saturday, December 14th, at the Holiday Inn and Suites in Bellingham, I would recommend you be there if you care about the Lake Washington Sockeye Run and the management of this.
Baker Lake?
Excuse me. Baker. Did I say Lake Washington?
Yeah.
All right, I'll apologize. I'll apologize to Frank. I'll bring him on right now. The Sockeye Father himself, Frank Urebeck.
Morning, Frank.
How are you doing?
Hey, guys. Great. Good talking to you. Thanks so much for getting this out to your audience. It's a big audience, and this is a real important. If this is maybe our last chance to turn things around, as you know, over the last 6 to 7 years, there's been a gross inequity in the harvest sharing. And we're going to try to get that fixed. And our best bet is to go ahead and attend that hearing up there by the Fish and Wildlife Commission in Bellingham.
So there has been, in the past few years,
will be the we've been working with other groups, all three of the big groups, Steelhead Trout Club, the CCA particularly, and the Puget Sound Anglers, to get the message to the department. We've been at this for a number of years. The disparity last year was just huge. We had all like 11,000 fish, more fish went to the tribes than were able to get to the sports people made available to us. This fishery, as you know, it started in 2010, and it really took off, and it was exciting to have a lake fishery, especially with the crash of Lake Washington. And in 2015, we had about 20,000 sockeye were put into Baker Lake for us. We catch about 50% of what goes in the lake. This year, 2019, we only had about 3,000, and some of us went up there once, and that was kind of it. So this meeting that you alluded to, and we've got to have a big turnout. What we do up there, the presentations and the public presence, is going to impact the commission. And we need to have the Fish and Wildlife Commission basically direct the department to really engage with the tribes, the Skagit Basin tribes, to work out this.
Yeah, Frank, we're kind of having a tough connection here with you this morning a little bit. But basically, here's kind of what's been going on. This fishery, this sockeye run has been over forecast for a number of years. And when the forecast is higher than the actual run, the commercial fishery that takes place, fish is on that forecast.
Yeah.
And their harvest levels reflect a higher forecast than the actual abundance can support. Last year, they barely made escapement on this fishery. We've got to have some escapement benchmarks on this particular fishery. Frank, you back with us there, buddy?
Hey, Frank, we got you there.
Yeah, we may have lost him. Hey, Matt, dial him up again.
I think one of the main problems with the fishery, it's front-loaded on the commercial fisheries on the river.
Big time.
And all the harvest takes place up front. And so what happens on the back end? Recreational fishermen once again get screwed on the back end on that deal. And Frank's right. It's a hugely popular fishery up there, mainly because you can take a small boat out. And it's manageable. You know, you're not dealing with a big lake here. You know, you can get out there in your 12-foot lund or whatever it is, and you
can also target
some of these fish.
In the river, you don't need a boat. You can fish off the bank.
Yeah,
and, yeah.
You know, there's not a lot of opportunity anymore for guys to fish off the bank.
Well, and the thing of it is, you don't even have to cast very far, dude. They run
they're right there.
They are right there in front of you.
And there was a whole bunch of promises made on this fishery, of course, and a lot of folks got excited about it, and then... Boy, the air's been let out of the balloon, and, of course, sport fishermen really have taken the short end of the stick on this deal the last few years.
So, Frank, are you back with us there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry, guys.
So,
that's where I cut out at.
No, okay. Well, basically, we were just alluding to the fact that when this run has typically the last few years been over-forecasted. In other words, the number that was anticipated by the WDFW and the co-managers was way under what was called for. And when the commercial effort takes place on the forecasted number, there's quite often not many fish left over. So are you going to ask for some escapement benchmarks? I mean, in every successful sockeye fishery I've been involved in, you know, with Alaska Department of Fish and Wildlife, we let a few fish get up in the system to get an indication of the run before anybody catches a fish. What's the matter with that model, Frank?
Well, the problem with that is that we've been working to try to get an in-season update model and to get some idea. And that model hasn't been worked out yet. So we really don't know until it's too late if our run's going to be above or below the preseason forecast. And by the time they reach an agreement on what's taking place, it's already too late. The horse is already out of the barn. What we think, Tom, is the best way to go is to take that preseason forecast model and either apply a buffer. In other words, do kind of like you're talking about, go ahead and take the forecast and then reduce it by some percent so that we don't overshoot. Or we can go back and into the model itself, instead of using what comes out of the model, is to apply what we call as, you know, some professional judgment and adjust it downward. And we found, if you look at their bounds on the model, and it's getting a little bit statistics here, but that if you use the lower bound, we would have hit the forecast right on. And so this is what we're arguing for, that they can go in and adjust how they use the new model. The new model came out in 2018, and it still missed by 4,000. This last year, the new model missed by about 11,000. So we think that's where to go. There are several other options that can be looked at as well. And what we want is the commission to really direct the department, the director, to work with the tribes very quickly here, just in say early January, to sit down and go over all the options and actually be a full commitment to achieving equity in the harvest this coming year. That's where we think we should go. And we've had several meetings, as I said, to try to get them in that direction. I think that's where it's at. Over the last 7 years, six of the seven, the tribes were ahead of us. It was simply because of the modeling, preseason model, and they fished to that model, as you already just explained. And that sets the season. So by the time you can figure out what's going on, it's too late. So we've got to get right at the beginning with that preseason forecast model.
So next Saturday, December 14th, 8 a.m., Holiday Inn and Suites Bellingham, that's 4260 Mitchell Way. Get on up there, and if you take part in this Baker Lake sockeye fishery, I would implore you, take a little bit out of your Saturday morning, get on up there and let your voice be heard. If folks do attend, Frank, what would you like to hear some of the folks giving testimony? What are some of the key points they need to make to try to address this a little bit? Because my concern is last year, you barely made escapement in this fishery. All right, let's just call it what it is.
Right.
And so in my way of thinking, why can't we have 500 fish in that trap before anybody goes fishing?
Well, I think that should be explored. I think that's a good idea, Tom. I think that there's about two or three or four other ideas we need is that, number one, the main message is give us a priority. It's never received a priority. When you get a Norfolk Falcon, as you know, you're all over the place on other issues. But this has to be getting a priority this year by the department. And secondly, it has to have that meeting with the tribes soon at the policy level to sit down and look at all the options and then reach an agreement on something that is going to get us this fairness. And I think those are the key things that have to happen. I think your idea should be put on the table along with the others that have been put out there. But I think they all should be discussed. But we got to get there. We got to get it fixed this year. If we don't do it this year, we never will. And this run seems to be declining. And so that's, as you said, we didn't barely made a statement last year. So we got to do a better job. But that'll only happen if the commission tells the department to get on with it, boys, get this figured out. And the public has to convince the commission that's the way to go. So what you put out here is exactly what we need, a good turnout and good articulate and respectful testimony.
Next Saturday, December 14th, up in Bellingham, Holiday Inn and Suites. Frank Yerbeck, the Sockeye Father, we thank you for your time this morning. Take care and happy holidays.
Have a great weekend, Frank.
Merry Christmas, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks so much.
See you, man.
All right, coming up next, the critically acclaimed, award-winning Northwest Outdoor Report right here on the Outdoor Line, powered by Yamaha 710, ESPN Seattle.
The Northwest Outdoor Report, also known as Redneck Sports Center, is brought to you by Truck Vault, the leader in secure vehicle storage.
Kevin John at Holiday Sports in Burlington said the bayfronts near Skagit, Padilla, and Samish Bays are still the place to be for waterfowl in Skagit County. They had a great shoot in some inland fields last weekend because temps dropped well below freezing, driving the birds inland to feed. Other than that, though, he said the rather boring weather we've had this waterfowl season has kept the birds out on the bayfronts. There's a pile of birds out there, though, if folks know how to hunt those areas. Kevin said the new Browning Wicked Wing series of shotguns have been popular this fall, and the Whip Splash Spinner Decoy from Decoy Dancers, selling like hotcakes. The Whip Splash is the ultimate decoy for imparting action on any decoy spread.
Steely's trickling into the sky. Tom Sakamoto, Three Rivers Marine Woodinville, said the steelhead action has had a slow start on the Skycomish River. There's been about a fish a day coming out of Reeder Ponds and around the same at the Wallace. You did hear of a side drifter picking up three above Salton a couple days ago, which is definitely a glimmer of hope that more steelhead are on the way. With little rain in the forecast this week and then later this week, he's hopeful that steelhead will start moving in. Three Rivers Marine has their annual steelhead fishing seminar happening today at 11 o'clock. Shea Fisher and Kristen Bishop will be on hand to talk steelhead and techniques on the Skycomish, Cowlitz, and Columbia Rivers.
Steven Jackson from the fishing counter at Outdoor Emporium said the squidding is still going strong on the Seattle waterfront. Jackson said the Big Wheel and Pier 86 seem to be producing the best. They are stocking Otori jigs weekly and said pinks, greens, and blues have been the best sellers. Steven said boaters have been getting in on the action as well, catching squid at night along the waterfront, also during the day. Lights are required if you plan on squidding from a boat at night, but during the day, all is needed is a good set of electronics to find them. December is usually the peak month for squidding in Puget Sound.
Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife just closed the Wilson River near Tillamook to salmon fishing to protect what little salmon are spawning there. Extremely low water conditions have concentrated the king salmon in the lower part of the river. With all the salmon in one spot, a parasite has spread quickly through the schools of salmon, killing as many as 200 Chinook. Oregon Fish and Wildlife aren't taking any chances to close the river to angling until water conditions improve. The river is closed the rest of the month from Blind Slough on up to Jordan Creek.
Surfs up, 75-foot wave hits California coast during bomb cyclone event. You probably heard of that storm that hit California a little over a week ago. It brought sustained hurricane-force winds and heavy swells up its coast. Well, data collected from the weather buoy off the northern coast of California showed just how severe it really was. The Cape Mendocino buoy, located near Crescent City in Fort Bragg, measured a wave just shy of 75 feet tall. That's the highest wave the 15-year-old buoy has ever recorded.
Scientists studying bird predation of young salmon and steelhead in the Columbia Basin were shocked at the outcome of some recent research on the lower Columbia River. Researchers compiled data from 11 years of studies on effects of bird predation on endangered salmon and steelhead smolts on the Columbia River and found that it accounts for between 31 and 52% of juvenile steelhead mortality on the Columbia. The numbers are even more staggering for the endangered upper Columbia River steelhead, with between 42 and 70% of those steelhead smolts getting munched by birds. Large colonies of Caspian terns, double-crested cormorants, California gulls, and ring-billed gulls are the blame.
This past Wednesday marked the latest Highway 20 has been open over the North Cascades in the past 11 years. It marks the 17th time since 1972 that the pass has been open into December. In 1989, the pass didn't close until January 2nd, 1990. And back in 1976, the pass stayed open through the entire winter. What are the chances North Cascades Highway will close this weekend? Well, not very good. Forecast looks for, like, more rain than snow on the pass this weekend, so will most likely stay open into next week, surpassing even more records.
Member Appreciation Day at Outdoor Emporium, Steelhead 101 at Sportco. Don't forget today's Member Appreciation Day at Outdoor Emporium in downtown Seattle. All the Black Friday deals happening all day long. Giveaways, 20% off fishing gears, and of course, their famous deep fried turkeys. Doors open at 9 a.m. And even Rob Ensley and Joey Piper will make a rare appearance at the event. And if you're down south, then Steelhead 101 will be going on from 10 to 1 today down at Sportco. Brandon Weedham, Joe Prince, and more will be giving fishing seminars. Get you dialed in for the upcoming Steelhead season. That's Steelhead 101 down at Sportco and Fife today from 10 to 1.
In Montana, 25 deer harvested around the state have tested positive for chronic wasting disease last week alone. This brings the total for 2019 to 91 animals testing positive for the always fatal disease. Amongst the new samples testing positive for CWD were two from areas not previously detected. A mule deer doe taken from Unit 650, just south of the Fort Peck Reservoir, and a white-tailed buck harvested in Unit 702 in Rosebud County. Both tested positive for CWD. Chronic wasting disease has been detected in multiple states in the West and Canada, but as of yet has not turned up in any deer, elk, or moose in Washington State.
The FBI just released gun sale data for Black Friday, and sales of guns were the second highest on record. Woo-hoo! FBI tallied over 202,000 requests during the 24-hour Black Friday period. That's around 500 guns less than the record set back in 2016, when just over 203,000 requests were filed with the FBI. Number of guns sold this past Black Friday in the U.S. was enough to outfit the entire United States Marine Corps.
This Redneck Sports Center has been brought to you by the great folks at Truck Vault in Cedro Woolley. Check out your next secure vehicle storage system at truckvault.com.
So that chronic wasting disease in Montana, if you get a critter, do you eat him?
No.
You
no.
don't?
There's been no instance of humans actually
transmitting, getting it.
No, that's, but they recommend that you do not eat it if it's showing signs of CWD.
Plenty of deer with it are being eaten. I mean, yeah, guys...
Oh, for sure.
I got an
How do you know? I mean, what do you get a critter? What do you?
They look like they're drunk. You know, they're wandering around. They may have drool coming out of their mouths.
Well, most of the deer I get a crack at have some sort of deficit, or I wouldn't get a crack at any. So
they could be emaciated.
Yeah.
A little bit.
They have hair falling out of them sometimes.
That's hair loss.
Hair loss.
Yeah, but no, generally, they say they just kind of look drunk. They're just kind of wandering around. They can be stumbling. If you walk up on one and it just lays in its bed, it doesn't even get up and move, you know, pretty good chance back there it's got chronic wasting.
Tag them anyway.
It's always fatal. Yeah. It's a bad deal, man, I'm telling you. And it's spreading fast across
and it got its start in wildlife refuges or something?
No.
Game farms. They're raising elk or deer. Gotcha. And then... You know, wild deer will come up to the fence, nose, boom, that's it. They get it.
Yeah, bad deal. Well, it's all over the Midwest. It's into Canada now, and it's just a matter of time before it hits Washington. It will end up here at some point. It's just a matter of time. So it's a bad deal for our moose, elk, deer. It's mainly a deer thing.
Because the populations are higher where moose, you know, they're rarely bumping into each other. Yeah. But like with whitetail, when there's tons of them around and they're coming into groups and nosing each other, it's going to spread so fast.
Check out Final Approach. These guys have been on the cutting edge of so much waterfowl technology, decoys, the whole bit. Mario Frindy of Final Approach joining us next, a little late season waterfowl ways here on the Outdoor Line, powered by Yamaha 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's Wheelhouse, brought to you by Wellcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
Welcome to the Wheelhouse here on 710 ESPN's The Outdoor Line. All right, if you're passionate about the outdoors, you got to kind of invent a job for yourself. So how about the Vice President of Brand Innovation? How's that? This sounds like somebody that gets to go hunting a whole lot.
Hashtag screw around for a living.
I came up with a brand innovation. I got to learn how to use all this stuff so I can teach people how to use all the Final Approach products. And he's Mario Frindy. Good morning, Mario, and sorry for picking on you right
Smart
off.
Smart man.
Yeah, that's a great title, isn't it? You like that?
Dude, that's...
How is the whole screw around for a living thing going for everybody?
Yeah, I mean, vice president of screw around and go hunting.
You got to like that. That's awesome.
Sound very official. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Speaking of which, I talked to you. You're back in Missouri right now. What's going on back there in the Central Flyway, buddy?
He's back there working.
R&D.
He's
working. How's the R&D going back there in Missouri, buddy?
We had a bunch of meetings and stuff this week, and we were going over a bunch of stuff, and we actually we had our carver who does all our mallards, Pat Godden, who's like 17-time world champion, is with us this week. So we told him we'd take him hunting a couple times. So we shot some mallards yesterday, and there's been some geese today working. We had to bust some ice and do some stuff. It's pretty chilly over here, and we actually got some geese out in the background. So if I got to pipe down for a second and shoot something, we'll see what happens. But it's going pretty good.
You got a flock working.
Any day out is a good day.
You got a flock work. You're hunting over water back there. Actually, I should say more like ice, but you're working the water for honkers back there, sounds like?
Yeah, there's been some ducks in this one hole, in this pool, so everything's kind of gone out, you know, to feed, and we're catching them coming back, get a drink or do some loafing or whatever. So, yeah, we're in this pretty big pool off the river, so we're just kind of lounging right now, waiting for them to start coming back.
Right
so,
on.
Yeah.
So we're kind of getting to the latter part of the season here in Washington. What are some things that folks can do back here to find some success here, latter part of the season? You know, as far as their decoy spreads, calling. You know, what can they do to shoot some limits here in the Northwest towards the end of the season, buddy?
You know, right now, I mean, you guys have been just as dry as we have. You know, this is a very unlikely year. You know, there's always something. There's always something every year. This year, it's not enough water. So, I mean, scouting is absolutely the key, and finding out where they're hiding and where they're going, or what they're using, and then look at the place and see what's there as far as birds and what species and whatever else, and get the decoys out and just get hit as best you can. I mean, you know, the later the season goes, the more experience the ducks get and the more conditioned they get. So you just gotta, you know, do what you can. Like we were just talking yesterday, you know, they could use electronic, you know, spinners here and stuff, and we did not bring one today because they just seem to be, the birds are a little stale here and they've just been shying off the spinners. So we just totally didn't even bother. So yeah, you just got to play the game, you know?
Yeah. I was going to ask you what some of the best motion decoys are to impart some action on your decoys. I mean, we got no weather here, no wind, pretty lame fall, really. You got to get some action in there. You know, got to have a spinner, got to have a jerk string. What are some of the things you guys use to coax those ducks in when the weather's just kind of lame? The decoys are just sitting out there on the mill pond, you know?
Yeah, the jerk string is the best bet. I mean, you know, we'll use the spinner early on in the morning or late afternoon. And you know, if you get a pile of wind, you could use some of the wind, you know, motion, you know, decoys and stuff like that spin. But best thing has been the jerk cord and just get some motion in the decoys. There's no doubt.
Yeah, I've been running the I was running the spinner the last few days, and actually my wrist hurts a little bit. But yeah, I noticed I've been doing a lot more waterfowling this year than I have in the past few years, and my buddies are all set up with a bunch of your guys' awesome decoys, and we have a couple of those, you know, jerk string spinners, and that is a huge, like,
seals the deal.
It's just like you can see them; they'll fly over, and you hit that spinner. And man, they like that motion, right? They want to see that something happening down there.
There's no doubt, and you know you got to get the wing motion, you got to get the water motion. You know, if you're really scouting and watching live birds, there's a ton of water being moved. You know, who's flapping their wings, but who's chasing who, and you know, there's always water splashing and there's always wings beating. So there's no doubt having either one of those or both in there at the right time is definitely a plus. There's no doubt about it.
Mario Ferrandi of FABrand.com joins us. It's Final Approach. And you guys have taken the evolution of the decoy to somewhere that I never imagined when I was blowing up inflatable carry lights and, you know, throwing them in a gunny sack over my shoulder and riding my bike down to the slough to, you know, go shoot some ducks. But the quality of the blocks that you guys are putting out now are simply amazing. So whereas it used to be, let's just take ducks, for instance, late season ducks. You know, you've been throwing out a spread of 50 decoys. Is there a time in the later season that less can be more, just from the standpoint?
No doubt.
And so describe what's going on at that point to us, Mario.
You know, so mine goes in peaks and valleys. You know, you start the season, with not as many decoys, and you don't even need as clean or as nice a decoys when you start, because all the birds aren't colored up or whatever. And then you get to a point where we get the first migration through, or the first thick, you know, set of birds. And then I come up in numbers pretty tall, and then, you know, keep that plateau for a while. And then if those birds get stale, you kind of go back down with, you know, pull your numbers down below. And then, you know, if you get another wave, you kind of come up again and add more numbers. And then by the time the late season's going, you know, I always keep, you know, like a dozen birds, you know, or six birds that don't get touched and don't get hunted much. And I keep them in a good bag, and I don't get them dirty, and I keep them real clean. So by the time you're at the end of the season, you know, I'm hunting over, you know, 3, 4, 5 decoys in some of these little spots, and just, you know, minimal calling at all, and just really hiding and really trying to seal the deal. And so, you just got to play the game.
And when you're placing these things, I mean, there used to be, you know, patterns. Oh, put them in a J-hook.
Put them,
you know, all the different ways to set them up. I mean, when you are in a smaller spread, though, it seems like placement of these deeks to put yourself in a position of advantage comes to a big premium. So how do you approach the actual placement, the actual, you know, spread that you actually set up there, Mario?
You know, like today, the blind's on a point. We put a blind on the point, and the way the decoys are, we're just using the decoys kind of as blockers where we don't want them to go. And you're just leaving a hole for them to look at to circle enough to give us a poke at them. So we're not really worried about landing the birds. We're just having them because we're on this point. So we just want them to swing because it's a pretty big hole.
So you're not using the J-hook pattern. How about the C? Using the C pattern? Mm-hmm. No.
Today we're using a close your eyes and put them out pattern and just leave a hole where you want to kill them.
The kill hole.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. And it's really not that much of an exaggerated hole.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm saying, we're just giving them a spot so they kind of, you know, got to turn around and look a little bit, because we have a pile of sheet ice really on the whole rest of the hole. So, I mean, they got to circle us to really look at where they want to land. And by the time they're circling, you know what I mean, we'll help them out.
Yeah, you can funnel them a little bit. What kind of shot you're running through your shotgun, man? Are you a 3-inch mag guy? Ones, twos, threes? What are you shooting at them?
I'm a 3-inch 2 guy. 3-inch number twos all the time.
Mm-hmm. So
all the time.
So you shoot tons of ducks and geese. What are a few of your favorite things to do with all the duck and goose meat you come up with?
You know, my absolute favorite thing, which my son loves, and all the guests and anybody that comes to the house, we have a really good sausage kitchen down by us.
Now you're talking.
And they make some of the best, like, regular pork sausage that you can get. And they actually make it like an Italian, like a hot sausage. But it's ground. It comes in like 1-pound packets. So they do wild game meat processing. So I take all my birds over there, all the geese, all the ducks, whatever we get, it goes in the pile and it goes over there, because they turn it into this mild ground Italian sausage. And I use it for, oh my God, everything. We've made chili, hamburgers,
nice.
Spaghetti sauce, tacos, mm-hmm. like breakfast sausage, burritos, like you name it. It's incredible. So that, you know, everybody says they got their thing, and I got my thing. There's no doubt.
Nice. Well, Joey, well, Joey, you blew me away with that stuff you gave us.
Summer sausage was spectacular. And it was,
did you get the little jalapenos?
Yeah.
Oh man, that was phenomenal.
So I'm going to do that. I'll do a little research, and I'll make some like Italian sausage.
Okay,
because I got a whole.
Find yourself like whoever makes the best like sausage, like pork sausage, and see mm-hmm. if they do, you know, wild game, and say, hey, can you do this into that sausage? I'm telling you, it'll be lights out.
Or duck poppers in the smoker.
Oh,
throw them in the master belt, smoke them for 3-4 hours. That's what we got going on.
All right,
yeah.
So Mario Frindy, Final Approach Vice President of Brand Innovation. What are some of the things you're working on for next year? What are some of the innovations that you're going to blow the industry away?
When
you fire away.
That's a great question. There's we actually have, so we were the first company, like, and this was like the first company that I ever did anything with, like, you know, 20 some years ago. They were the first one. Final Approach was the first brand to make a layout blind.
okay, and change the whole way everybody hunts in a field. And next year we will have another blind, another layout blind that we think is going to help. We're pretty proud of what's going to happen next year. It's going to be super easy for everybody, super fast, and just the design and everything else. We're pretty pumped.
With a built-in barbecue and a wet bar.
It will be
That's
heated.
Phenomenal.
It'll be heated as well.
You know what? I
propane
think I'm gonna,
tank, you know.
Tin, everything.
Yeah. Yeah, ice maker.
You know what I think is cool is the floating blind bag, because you need
So when you
take my bag
out of the boat, you can still get it.
Well, I'm in like a flooded field hunting most of the time.
Oh,
you
yeah.
can't take your bag out there. So it I end sinks. Up having to shove my shells in my waders or something.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to get that floating blind bag. That
All right.
looks awesome.
So there's no truth to the rumor that you guys are pioneering the combination layout blind flask. That's not happening.
You know, we had that on the table and we talked about it, but we just I don't know.
I'll tell you what.
The whole alcohol and gunpowder thing.
Well, Mario, you and I can do some research on that at SHOT Show this January. We'll get to the bottom of that.
All right, so. Okay.
I guarantee we can.
So what's happening?
And also, since Pat's been here, you know, since Pat's been here on all the other stuff on the decoys, we got some stuff up our sleeve on decoys next year too.
Awesome.
So we got some pretty cool stuff coming.
Cool. What's going on there? Are the birds still working? I don't hear any goose calling in the background. What's happening?
No, nothing's happening now. Okay. Right now, everything, like I said, the sun just came up a little bit earlier. Everything's warming up, and actually the birds kind of sat pretty tight this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really just starting to move, and the wind's picking up right now. So it should get a little better here as we go, believe
awesome.
It or not. So that's all right. So we're just sitting and enjoying outside. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Well, thanks for taking the time, buddy, and I'll be in touch with you here shortly, man. Send a picture. Want to see what happens
absolutely.
There today.
Will do, bud. You guys have a good one. Hopefully you guys get out this weekend or this week.
Yeah. No doubt.
I'll be out tomorrow.
Yep.
Log on to fabrand.com. That's Mario Frini of Final Approach. Mario, thanks again for your time, man. You take care and good luck today.
Thanks,
anytime,
brother.
You guys.
See you, Mario.
Have a good one.
Later, take Sounds it easy. Good. Yeah. Good dude. Great interview. And you know, when you got a brand like this that's got guys in the field, yeah, that's when stuff happens. But just take a look at that website if you're at all. And they make, I mean, everything. You mentioned the decoy bags, but they also got apparel and a whole bunch of other stuff.
They got floating shotgun cases.
Ooh.
Everything floats,
good.
I'm not kidding. I was just in the blind. I'm like, if I set this thing down, it's gone, all my shells. So that's a great idea.
Coming up next, the hottest report we heard all week in the techniques you need to succeed. It's RoyRobinsonChevy.com's Really? Where? And it's next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
No way. Really?
Where?
It's coming back. The island of Tinny and the Lady.
Where'd you get them, man? No way. You gotta tell me. I'm not gonna tell anybody.
The ocean turned red.
Hey, man, can you tell me where you got them?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonChevy.com's Really? Where?
Where?
Roy Robinson Chevrolet RV will take you anywhere. Really?
Roy Robinson's extended the Black Friday sales event featuring the all-new Chevy Silverado with 6 advanced powertrain options, 7 million miles of testing, and 8 trim levels, which adds up to the unrivaled tow champ. Chevrolet, find new roads, find new...
New roids.
Roids. New roids.
Not Dannaball.
Head for the gym.
Yeah, do that.
Get yourself all jacked up.
RoyRobinsonChevy.com.
What's going on this week? Got to be Squidding, probably on the Seattle waterfront. Hard to believe Squidding is the number one pick of the week.
Well,
I'll tell you what.
It ain't steelhead and it ain't
crabbing.
They're
getting them.
Yeah.
So definitely their trout fishing has been fantastic as well on the lakes that have been planted. And also, don't forget about Lake Washington and Lake Sammamish, catching some cutthroat out of there. But really, I mean, the hottest thing going on right now has been the squid fishery down in Elliott Bay. You know, take a number at the piers down.
Yeah,
they're extremely crowded. If you want to get away from the crowds, get in your boat. Get out there during the day and fish, you know, fish on these things during the day as well as nighttime. Drop some lights over the side and get them at night.
Part of the fun, though, is kind of all those people. It's kind of fun being down there with everybody.
Sure. For sure, yeah. Waterfowling right now, you know, hopefully this week we get some weather. It'll pick up here on the west side. Definitely been a bayfront program here on the west side. Up north, talked to Kevin John at Holiday yesterday. Skagit, Padilla. Sammamish Bays have been good. Anything close to the bay fronts has been good. And then with some rain later this week, we got at least enough rain to maybe get some sheet water in the fields. Maybe those birds will push in a little bit.
Yeah, because right now everything is moving out to the bay, and then you know, they're coming in to feed, but then they're going right back.
They're not going far.
They're not moving a lot.
No, so that's what's happening there. The squid thing, those Otori jigs from BOMAC, they're having a hard time keeping them on the shelves down at OE. I know up at John Sporting Goods, too, there's quite a few people driving down from the north end to get in on that deal. Talked to Kevin again up at Holiday yesterday. He said there's been a few smelt at Coronet Bay as well up on the north end. They jig for them off the dock there.
That's fine. I've done it.
Yeah, so kind of a cool deal. Just a little fringe fishery thing that's going on up there.
They taste so good out of salt water. Those Columbia River smelt, you can have those. They're awful.
Yeah, once they hit the freshwater, they get a little mushy.
Yeah, but the Coronet Bay deal?
Our squid, so good. Yeah. We did it when I was a kid. We'd go to LeConner and do it there.
Yep.
You know, and no jigging. We were
smelt,
treble hooks.
Smelt.
Yeah, smelt. Yes. Yep.
It's all right.
Treble hooks.
Just jigging them.
Just ripping them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Fill just up a bucket.
Yeah, exactly. And then, schmelty yarding. And then just hot oil and just salt and pepper. And they're amazing, dude. Eat them the same day. Winter Steelhead 101 going on today down at Sport Cohen 5. Brandon Whedon, if you missed his interview, check out the podcast. He joined us in the first hour. He BNRTackle.com. He's on the cutting edge of a lot of plastic innovation stuff.
A lot of folks fishing bees right now, and I've talked about it earlier in the show. The steelhead fishing is DED dead right now here on the west side.
You're so much fun to talk to.
Well, here's the deal. Go look at the weather forecast.
I know.
We got rain in the forecast for next week, and we're not talking inches of rain. We're talking half an inch, quarter inch. Just enough rain to bring these rivers up a little bit, and you're going to make the report. If you head out Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, next weekend, you're going to make the report this next week because the fish are going to come, and you're going to be there to get them. So go get ready right now. Get some beads, get some jigs, whatever you're going to do, and get out there this next week and make it happen.
And if you've ever been on the fence with regard to an electric reel, we got this promotion going on today. It's Customer Appreciation Day at Outdoor Emporium. They got that's my reel right there, the Tanicum 750 with a perfect rod reel, the whole bit. You guys are actually going down there today.
Yeah, I'll be down there, and there is limited supplies on these electric reels. We had a text earlier in the show about that electric reel promotion going on, and I think there was a limited supply down at Sporco. There's going to be a limited supply also at OE today, so just get there right when they open. Get your elbows out, you know, kind of get that, you know, that
you gotta block, rebound. You block out the dude out.
Block people out and get back there and get one of those packages because that's a sweet setup.
Start throwing bows.
Yeah. And they even got you, they have the correct line and everything. I mean, you will be set to go because, again, you know, you got an increased opportunity this spring on halibut. We've had some decent numbers in there. And the season starts earlier, which is huge because, like you pointed out earlier on the show, Robbo, typically by May and June, they're already back out in the straits.
You know what I like about halibut? They don't eat beads.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
You got to have bait.
Yeah.
Says the
owner of Raised Bait over here.
Oh, yeah. Well, and, you know, it's not a fun fishery, but, dude, when you get a fresh halibut, it is some of the best thing you could possibly eat. They're just, you know. But,
well, you guys make fun all you want. One of my favorite things to do is light jigging up in Southeast Alaska.
Yeah, I hear you.
We run really lightweight jig rods nowadays. Dive with 40 reels. I mean, I'm running 60-pound braid, and it's all super lightweight stuff. We only fish up to a pound of lead, pound jigs, and sometimes a lot smaller stuff. We're catching bottom fish and lingcod and halibut and yellowhead and all kinds of stuff. A lot of times in pretty shallow water. You know, some of the bigger halibut we catch in Southeast are in shallow water. I mean, like 50, 60 feet of water up on the kelp.
Well, they do the same thing in Nia Bay, dude.
They're in there feeding on rockfish and greenlings and whatnot.
Some of the biggest halibut caught here in Washington are caught on the inside and up in the shallow.
Sure. I agree. PA, man.
Way bigger than what they get on the coast.
Every year you hear of a 200-pounder.
A freshwater bay, they anchor in 60, 80 feet of water out there. And now this year, folks, we're going to get a crack at them in April. And there's going to be a pretty good crowd of folks out there doing that program. So you're going to sell a hell of a lot of bait this spring and in turn be able to hunt deer with me a lot more next fall. So
buy shotgun shells and bullets for deer.
Put some gas in the car.
Buy a couple out-of-state tags.
That's our buddy Joey selling sand shrimp for shotgun shells.
Yeah.
you missed any of the show, make sure you you download that 710 ESPN app on your phone or go to theoutdoorline.com. Matt will have those podcasts up pretty soon. 710sports.com also has a complete hour podcast.
So Joe and I are heading down to Outdoor Emporium right now. Come by and say hello. They open at 9 o'clock. We'll be down there to noon, 1 o'clock, something like that. I know I will be. And then, Joe, I think you and I are going to do some duck hunting this week. Weather's looking pretty good midweek to go. Go shoot some mallards, probably up on the north end somewhere. Tom, what do you got going on?
You know what? I'm popping out a couple more Raymarine videos. Mike Sertic hooked me up with a FLIR, and for this time of year, we got low light conditions. That's a real cool thing to have on the boat. So I'm actually going to do it from opening the box to rigging it up and everything. You know, a complete soup to you know what video on that. So jump onto the Outdoor Lines YouTube channel and check that stuff out. You can also give us a follow on social media at The Outdoor Line on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. For Rob Ensley, for Matt Nelson behind the glass, for Joey Pyburn, I'm Tom Nelson. This has been The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.
A holiday recipe from Heritage Distilling Company. And it all starts with the smooth, sweet taste of the world's best flavored whiskey, BSB Brown Sugar Bourbon. With just the right hint of spice to lead your senses into the holiday spirit. Whether it's on ice, hot buttered, or in your grandma's apple pie, there's no denying BSB tastes like the holidays. Give your tongue a sleigh ride. BSB Brown Sugar Bourbon, Gig Harbor, Washington. 30% alcohol by volume. Please drink responsibly.